We've been talking this morning about John chapter 4. Certainly a beautiful passage of Scripture. And when we think about that, to that point, Christ being a personal teacher, we've got to think about what He was talking to her about. And certainly He talked to her about something that was very beautiful. We talk about this on multiple occasions, but in John chapter 7, we find that he discusses this one more time. He says in John chapter 7, verse 37, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." We know that He would send the Holy Spirit in John 14:26, John 15:26, and John 16:13. Each one of those He talked about the Holy Spirit would bring to them all the things that He had brought, because He was the way, the truth, and the life. We talked about the fact that there are people that we tend to think would not hear God's Word, but yet everyone might be receptive to God's Word that we come across. How do we know? Jesus knew this woman's heart. He talked to her. He deliberately did things in such a way that He had this opportunity to be able to talk to this woman at the well. And we see that as tired as He was, you can see His spirit revive. He no longer is hungry. He's doing what He wanted to do. That should be our attitude. So let's make that application for us teaching today. I think we can learn some valuable things from this. First of all, from this passage of Scripture, you have to have interaction with others. We see in this passage of Scripture that He interacted with this woman. He had an opportunity. He talked to her. He had a chance to talk to her about God's Word. We find that the Bible does say that we're to be separated from the world, that we do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. We do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But that does not mean that we isolate ourselves from people of this world. As a matter of fact, Christ would pray about that in Acts 17. Let me try that again. In John 17, where He would talk about that, and He said, "I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, He had said in the Old Testament, and teaches us the same thing today, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." We are in the world, but we cannot be a part of the world. But we do contact people all the time. We contact people sometimes in our neighborhoods. We talk to them, and we are around them. And how many times do we talk to them about God's Word? How many times do we contact people? And how many times do we do exactly what Jesus Christ did in this powerful lesson that we just studied? In Romans 13, 9 and 10, it talks about we would never tempt, as I used in a lesson recently, our neighbor. Now, a neighbor here, I understand the Bible's totally different, but this still applies to people in our neighborhood. If you think about this for a moment, we would never tempt them to do sin. And as a matter of fact, in verse 10, He says, "Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is a fulfillment of the law." If we truly love, as I pointed out a week ago, then what would we do? We would do what's best for anyone we come across in our neighborhood. We would try to teach them. How about in the workplace? Well, in the workplace, Paul had talked about this in Colossians 3. He had talked about the fact that we certainly need to understand the need to be what we should. That we set an example in the workplace. That we don't do it to please others, that we do it to please God. We would set that perfect example before others in the way we would work so that they would know that we're a Christian. Whether in the first verses there, whether we're a bondservant or a master, as he puts it. Whether we're working for someone or we're the one over someone. We live in such a way, first of all, that we set the example. Second of all, we seek opportunity to talk to people about their souls in the workplace. In the school, we do the same thing. Think about this for a moment. As Christians, as he would put it in 2 Timothy 2:2, "The things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful people, that they may be able to teach others also." It's a continuing thing. When you are in school somewhere, talk to them about it. You've been taught, talk to someone else about it. Take an opportunity to teach. Truthfully, it's wherever we are. How many of us would think of standing beside of a well and talking to a person we've never met before in our lives, bring up the subject in such a way that we could talk to them about their souls? Maybe some common interests. Well, first of all, did they have very many common interests? We found out that no, they really didn't, that she's a Samaritan, he's a Jew. And I've wondered, just want to point this out, after him teaching her, I wonder if she's one of the ones that Philip was able to teach. I wonder if she's one of the ones that somebody else was able to teach later on to become a child of God. that was baptized into Christ. You wonder if she followed up on what he had taught her. But they talked about some common interests. So what would be some common interests we might talk to people about? How could we talk to them? Maybe we bring up about family. And maybe through that discussion, we can talk about the family of God. Maybe we talk about our experiences, and maybe through that we can talk about experiences we've had as Christians. Maybe we talk about accomplishments, and we let them know that the greatest accomplishment that we've ever made in our lives was being obedient to God. Maybe we talk about our hobbies, but the biggest hobby we have is studying the Word of God. Maybe we talk about the pursuits that we have in life. The greatest pursuit we have in life is to have everlasting life. Maybe we could talk about something like that. Maybe we've got a way to talk to them. Like Paul did in Acts 17. He looked out and he saw that they had all these idols there. And what does he do when he goes into the city? Did he berate them over that? No. He said, you've got one out there that you put up to the unknown God. He said, let me talk to you about an unknown God. It's not those idols you have out there. Let me tell you about it. See, he picked something that they had in common. He picked something that they both did somewhat believe in. The problem was, he only believed in the God of heaven, and they did not. So he needed to help them with that, and he taught a beautiful lesson about that. Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, getting ready to talk to someone about what they need to do, about their souls. So now, Paul said, as I approach people, I realize there's a differences in background. There's a differences in the way I approach people, that everybody is different, even though we are the same in multiple ways. So I try to think of something he says like this. Though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. So that's our first thought. We're here to serve. We're a servant to our fellow man. That if we want to show Christ, as we talked about this morning, about, yes, I visited you. Yes, I took care of you. Yes, I did all. What I really did for you was try to teach someone else about you. You see, to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those that are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Now, there's a differentiation there. There are some Jews that didn't follow the law. See, so he's making a differentiation between understanding and knowing their background. Were they just someone that didn't know, and they just claimed themselves a Jew, or were they someone that really tried to follow the law? To those who are without law, Gentiles. As without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak. In other words, I did not put myself up above anyone when I'm talking to them about their salvation, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all that I might by all means save some. Jesus found this one woman, one soul, and he realized, as we should, and knew, obviously, the importance of trying to talk to that one person on that one occasion. It's amazing, isn't it? Most of us, we think of seeking out a large audience, preaching to a lot of people, talking to a lot of people. But when it comes to common interest, we've got to find something. We need to talk to people, just like Jesus did with her, and found something that they had in common. And then use that to establish spiritual interest. As he talked about the water, it piqued her interest. Then he started talking about that living water. What was coming? Certainly talking about what he was going to do that the Holy Spirit would talk about, and then the Word of God that she would need to obey. Philip did that in Acts chapter 8. As he approached the man from Ethiopia, as he came upon that chariot, he stood there for a moment, and I've always been impressed with this and listened. He didn't rush. He was rushing to get there, but he waited, and he listened to what the man was reading. And so as he did, he said, what are you reading? Beautiful way to approach something. What are you reading? It says in verse 30, I think this is so beautiful. Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, what a question. Do you understand what you're reading? Why would we say that to someone? Why would we establish some type of a spiritual interest there in this? If you see someone with their Bible open, maybe that's a way to approach them. Think about that for a moment. He says to him, what are you reading? Do you understand it? He's not saying, I understand everything. He's just looking for a way to open a door. And he began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He said, Jesus told her, I am that one that you've been looking for. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. That's who we talk about. That's exactly what he talked to him about. And in talking to him about Isaiah, guess what else he talked to him about? He talked to him about his soul salvation. He explained to him some things about what he needed to do to be saved. How do we know that? Because the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? I will guarantee you can turn back to where he's reading in Isaiah, and that's not there. Philip was teaching him what the new law would say about what you needed to do because of what Christ did on the cross for your sins. And he says, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And he said, I do. They both went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He found the common interest. In Acts chapter 16, I find this very interesting as well. says, and from there to Philippi in verse 12, and said they stayed there for many days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. They went where they knew there might be opportunity. They knew that they could establish some spiritual interest in these people. So they went there knowing that people went down there to pray. Aren't they okay already? They've been praying. I mean, surely that would be okay. No. We sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Very similar to what Jesus, we just talked about Him doing. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. She should be fine, right? No. Nope. She's been doing what she knew, but what she knew wasn't enough. So they have established this common interest in prayer. There they are with them, and they sit down and talk to them. And they say, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, what do you think he taught her? What do you think was new from what she didn't already know? She needed to know about the Christ, and she needed to know what she needed to do to be saved. Not complicated. Got to go slow. I'm one of those people, and people have been around me, and they say, wow, that's way too much. And I know that about me. And I try sometimes. I try to slow down, and I try to back off. It's just that my mind is running, and I want people to just... I have that problem. I've had to learn to even write things down anymore and just study with people, because if I don't, I way overwhelm people. It's not because I'm so smart. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. It's not because I'm so knowledgeable of the Bible. It has nothing to do with that. It's just I want people to know what I know. You know? But what if Jesus had done that to that woman? What if He had just overwhelmed her with things and just went... He didn't. He gave her what she needed at that moment to start changing her life. That's what we need. We've got to go slow with this. We've got to tell people I get concerned sometimes that we want to just teach them the whole Bible before we do anything else. That's not what we need to be doing. What did Peter do in Acts chapter 2? What did he teach them? I'll tell you what he taught them. He taught them about the Christ. He taught them exactly what they needed to hear. What was it about the Christ that they had crucified Him? They realized they were in trouble. It cut them to the heart. It pricked them to the heart. It touched them. Because that's what we need to touch people with. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. If they're ever going to be touched, that'll touch them. That's what we need to teach them. We need to teach them exactly what He said. What are we going to do? They believe now. He says, enough. You're good to go. No, He didn't. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. I don't know how many people were there. All I know is 3,000 said, that hurt. I need to get my life right with God. I'm willing to repent and I'm willing to be immersed in water for the remission of my sins. Paul, 1 Corinthians 15 said, let me tell you what you need to talk to people about. First thing that you ever talk to people about is about Jesus Christ. That gospel. The facts of the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we talk to people about. Talk to them about their Savior. We tell them that their Savior died for them on the cross. We let them know they need to make a change in their life. And we need to look at people and understand that there's people that know very little or nothing about the Word of God. They've never actually picked up the Word of God. They've been dependent on someone else their whole life. Just like that woman at the well, she'd been dependent on someone else to tell her what she needed to do. That's what a lot of people are. That's where they are. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 3:2. Even as Christians, He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. He said, I had to back off. I had to understand where you are. We need to do that. We've got to recognize that people have not heard the Word of God like many of us have. They've never picked the Bible up. They're confused about the Word of God. And it's so easy to overwhelm them with it. And I would say this, do not be overly negative. Now, what I'm talking about is this. I'm not talking about in general about telling people about sin. Not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about now I'm talking to someone and all I can tell them is what you're in's bad. You shouldn't be doing that. You need to... Pretty soon they don't want to hear that anymore. They're thinking, well, who are you? I know you're... That's all he said to her was, you remember? He said, go get your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, you've rightly spoken. Think about that for a moment. Just using that. He didn't stand there and beat her up with it. He just let her know you're in sin. That's why you need to make a change in your life. Use some wisdom. Oh, man, we need wisdom. The book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. It's all about how to live life. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Sometimes we get very defensive when we're talking to someone who doesn't know anything. Shouldn't. Proverbs 15, verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. We need to really think through what we say. We need to listen to the other person so that we respond properly. Proverbs 16:1, we certainly need to depend on God. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Let's let our tongue be from the Lord. Let's let what proceeds out of our mouth come from Him. Let's let it be wisdom from His Word, not our wisdom. Too many times we think we can do a better job on this. We think something else is going to save people. No. I'll tell you what's going to save people. It's the same thing that's been saving people since Christ died on the cross. And that is a belief in Jesus Christ and obedience to that belief. We need to think before we speak. Proverbs 24, verse 26. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. I think what a beautiful thought there. Giving the right answer. What's the right answer? Every time. Every time. My thoughts are God's. My thoughts are not like God's thoughts. And my ways aren't like His ways. Isaiah 55. And even when people might get confrontational with us maybe about what we're trying to say, do not answer a fool according to his folly. Proverbs 26, verse 4. Lest you also be like him, but then answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. There's a time to speak and there's a time to not. Don't get into foolish arguments, as he talks about in the Bible, foolish genealogies. Just tell people simply what they need to do to be saved. That's what they need at that point. That's all they need at that point. 1 Peter 3:15, we need to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give an answer or a defense for the reason for the hope that's within us with meekness and with fear. And then focus on the need for salvation. That's exactly what he did here. Both with her and the men that came from the village. Keep the objective in mind. You're trying to help someone else save themselves by doing what God wants them to do. Show them from the Bible what needs to change. Let the Bible do the speaking. I'll tell you someone you'll really appreciate. You will really appreciate in your life someone that says to you when you're asked a question. Anyone in this audience, when you're asked a question from someone, you know why they'll appreciate you? It's when you say, well, let me show you what the Bible says. Let me teach you what the Bible says. Not what Abe Martin says. Let me teach you what the Bible says. And they turn to it. In Acts 18:24, we find a beautiful man there. A man named Apollos. A man trying really hard to do what God wanted him to do, but he only knew the baptism of John. Paul and Priscilla came along and they said, we need to give you further instruction. That's the kind of person you need. You know where they gave him the further instruction? They explained to him the way of God more accurately. And you know what he went and did after that? Let me read it to you. Verse 28, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures, what did he show? That Jesus is the Christ. Amazing, isn't it? We make it so complicated sometimes, I know I do. And if need be, seek further study. In Acts 17, verse 32, after he had taught them that beautiful lesson, he said things in such a way that they said, we want to talk to you some more about this. I mean, I wished I said things better sometimes so that people would wish to talk to me more about it sometimes, don't you? And then make it always about Jesus Christ. Not about us, about Jesus Christ. About His sacrifice for sin. How He gave His body on the cross for our sins in Hebrews 10:5. About our need to obey His commandments. We always should want to do His will. We should always want to tell people about doing His will. Not our will, His will. Verse John 2:3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know Him. How? If we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar. Strong language. And the truth is not any. If I say to you today, I know Him, and you know that I'm not keeping His commandments, you know I'm a liar. So who should I talk about? Jesus Christ. Who should I tell you to follow? Jesus Christ. It's His will. Because here's the reason. There are consequences to not listening to Him. There are consequences to not following Him. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are my thoughts, not necessarily the best in the world, but you think about it, but I'm going to give you some more real quickly. Let me give you now something totally different from that should apply to each one of us, an application for obedience. In this passage of Scripture, this woman did not say, I don't need to do this. This woman did not say, wow, you know, I don't believe a word he just told me. What did she do? Dropped the water buckets, running the village, tell others about what she'd been told so that they could hear the same thing. She desired to know. We need to seek for it. We need to indeed get away from sin, as he talks about in 1 Peter 2, verse 1. And as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. What do you desire? I'll tell you how you can find out. When you talk to someone and you find out they won't look at God's Word, I can tell you right now they don't desire it. If we can't open God's Word study it, it tells me they don't desire God's Word. They would rather listen to man. It's a common problem among people. We don't want to take the time to do it ourselves. We don't, I guess, sometimes think that we can find what we need, but we've got to go after it. We can never be satisfied. In Hebrews 5:12, he said, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, what? The first principles of the oracles of God. And you become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat or of solid food. For the he that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby. Strong meat or solid food belongs to them who by what? Reason of use." You've practiced it now, he says. That's who you should be. Reason of use. Have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You have that living water in you. That's what he's talking about. It's in you, and it has to come out. You want to tell others about it. But let me tell you something about a lot of people in the New Testament. Just like her, obeyed immediately. She wanted to go do this. She wanted to get this living water. She wanted to know more about it. She wanted to know. He stayed there for 2 days teaching these people. The Jews in Acts 2, what did they want? They didn't wait around. The 3,000 that wanted to be obedient said, "What do we need to do?" Why is it people wait? They hear the Word of God. They know about Jesus Christ. They know what the Bible says, and they wait. The jailer and his family, as soon as Paul and Silas taught him, as soon as they taught him, washed their stripes, and it says, and they were baptized. Went out and were baptized immediately. When they heard the Word of God, they understood they needed to be immersed in water for the mission of their sin. And after that, what do? We give you an application for continued obedience. Then seek others. She couldn't wait. She goes running back to town and she says, "You got to hear this man. He's got to be the Christ." Wouldn't you think? If he knows all about me, he's got to be. Who else could do that? That's the person we talk about. That's the being we talk about. We talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to people. We tell them that's the one you need to look to. Cornelius. Cornelius said, "We are all here." Who's all here? I thought Cornelius, the Holy Spirit said you. And when he found out that Peter was going to come there and teach him, he invited neighbors, friends, relatives. He wanted them all to hear this. He's excited about it. That's where we need to be. That's true obedience. That's understanding and knowing what God wants us to do. I will tell you that in some respects, this is so simple of a lesson. I will also tell you that at my age, I still don't have this down pat. I'm still working on this because I'm trying to emulate my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a personal teacher. Talking to others about God's Word. Teaching others. Both those that are Christians and those that are not. So, just like Cornelius, people here at this local congregation are seeking people to teach. Everyone in this audience tries to talk to people about their soul. I've heard many of you tell about the fact that you've tried to talk to someone and you've opened up God's Word and you've said to them, "This is what you need to do." And that's who we are. We need to do it in the right way, to the best of our ability. So, just like Peter urged Cornelius to be obedient, just like Peter urged the Jews to be obedient, I would encourage anyone in this audience today, think seriously about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what He did for you, how He died on the cross for your sins. That's what I have to teach, and that's what I talk to people about. And I tell them that all He asks in return, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And so He said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Both belief and baptism. Peter talked the same thing in Acts chapter 2. But he knew that they were believers because they said they were pricked in the heart and they knew what they'd done to Jesus. And so he said to them, "What you need to do is turn, repent. Get away from the life you're going. You're in sin. Get away from it." Just like Christ had told that woman at the well. And he said, "Be immersed in water for the remission of your sins." If I don't teach that, if I don't teach exactly what the Bible says, I'll be held accountable for it. So that's what I teach. I believe it with all my heart. I'm willing to open it up with anyone and show them that's exactly what the Bible says. If you have any needs today, or if you're a Christian and you need to get your life right with God and you wish the prayers of the saints, please let us know while together we stand and sing.